Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimke.
All right, Baroque pop this morning. What is Baroque pop?
Well, I gotta say, this was not a genre I was familiar with, but once you hear about it, well, A, heaps of people are into it, and it is does exist, but it just makes sense.
It just makes
things
sense.
Things that make sense. So I was actually looking for Baroque, you know, like 1600 to 1750s harpsichord,
yeah,
and stuff that sounded more Baroque. Like, and apparently some of this Baroque pop does have a harpsichord. But it's basically any pop that has classical elements.
Okay.
And so it's kind of prog pop. As opposed to prog rock. And I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. But is that an oxymoron? Because isn't pop like the anti-classical, you know, let's have it simple, let's have it three chords, let's not, you know, challenge our thinking. So it's a really weird genre, but it's kind of goes to name, like the original sort of cluster of it was in the mid to late 60s.
Okay.
And you know how when we talk about prog rock in the 70s, you always have the precursors, which is like the Beatles later albums
and the
Beach Boys. So the name for that is Baroque pop. So it's sort of not quite prog rock yet.
But it's got its own.
Because that stuff
going
was there. And apparently there was a big burst of it. It wasn't just the Beatles and the Beach Boys. So, but think about, you know, Whiter Shade of Pale, but the Beatles song like Eleanor Rigby,
yep,
or Beach Boys, God Only Knows, and like the White Album. So it's like, it's a really good catch-all term to put this stuff that's not prog rock, but it's prog pop.
I'm going to hit this first track. There we go.
So, sorry, would God Only Knows by the Beach Boys fit into this?
Yes, because what else would it be? Because it's not, okay.
Is that not, that's not yacht rock. No, it's different.
No. Yacht rock
everything
is smoother.
Comes back to yacht rock.
I know, that's her icon. Like, I think that was her first show, and she's just never.
So this never let it go.
This is Honey Bus, and so I mean, now I guess we're quite eclectic in our listening, but then to have a pop band do this.
It's pretty radical. Yeah.
Yeah, and so it wasn't just the Beatles. I know for a lot of us, you know, we're like, okay, the Beatles did this because they were all high.
Yeah.
And their later albums, and they weren't touring, and they just mixed some classical up, and they had George Martin producing them. But it was a trend, and at the time, in a lot of 60s bands, they enjoyed that play.
Did it come out of the UK? This feels like a very UK
absolutely
genre.
Absolutely.
We're already getting some texts coming in. One of them says New Zealand's Abel Tasmans have been called Baroque pop.
Oh, yeah, that's a very fair
also
call.
Also, Look Blue, Go Purple and the Villains, even though they were in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah, well,
a little bit of a crossover with the Flying Nun sound.
Yeah, so now you can apply it to any band. So there, apparently in that period it was a thing, enough to call it a thing, but yeah.
Okay, so in the 60s we had like an actual movement of Baroque pop,
but
and
now,
now it's a bit of a catch-all term.
Well, yeah, people put Prince in there, and the Johnsons.
Okay.
Belle and Sebastian, Radiohead, Arcade Fire. And when you think about it, you're like, yeah, they're not prog rock, you know, like.
And they're not quite straight pop.
That's
either.
Right. Yeah. And you get Panic at the Disco.
Panic at the Disco.
Yes.
Could be.
Is that
my
emo?
It's emo, but also maybe with a flavor.
But it's
of
got a lot of classical-y elements. So it's they'll put anything classical. It's not just Baroque, which is you know why I got confused.
Someone wants to know if it's related to chamber pop.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I saw that name come up. And if you want to have a fun time, look at Baroque Pop Aesthetic on Pinterest.
Oh, my God.
Beautiful. Beautiful art. Amazing. Yeah. So all you Pinterest, I don't know if many BFM listeners are big Pinterest people, but it's awesome.
I feel like there's a lot of people with a secret Pinterest board out there.
Now you'll all have to create your own Baroque Pop Aesthetic Pinterest board.
I gotta say, this is a lovely song.
Blinded by
the merry-go-round. Quite complicated harmonies going on there. Poisoned by the wine. The lyrics are a little bit funny.
Yeah, so I think it's helpful to think of it as this oxymoron, because you think of other poppity-pop-pop-pop. You're like, yeah, that's not it. But this isn't rock. This isn't, you know, avant-garde. It's still got a simplicity to it.
Someone's pointed out Multi Love by UMO. It's got a flavour of Baroque to it as well, for a bit of a local one.
And so things like, not just harpsichord, but oboes, string quartets, majestic, orchestral, One thing said melancholic, but no, I mean, that last one was, but some of the ones we're going to play are not. dramatic.
Oh, here we go. Couldn't catch all the rain that drained
out of my head when you said you were. I feel like the classicalness is strong in this track.
Yeah, but it doesn't feel like a sample. You know, it doesn't feel like an add-on. It feels organic as a sort of part of the, you know, the fabric of the song.
Someone's texted in, Jim's texted in for one of the OGs, the Left Bank.
Yes.
One of the absolute legendary Baroque.
Yes.
From that original
That original thing that scene. Made it enough to call it. Like, for now, it's sort of a flavor that artists will dabble in.
Yeah.
But yes, Left Bank, absolutely, we're giving a big mention.
Thanks, Jim.
Yes. The Zombies. Ornate, complex.
Oh, yeah. This is XTC, in case anyone's wondering. 1,000 Umbrellas.
And see, they do lots of different styles.
Yeah. So they dabble.
Yes, the dabblers.
They pick what they want for.
This is Dibble Dabble. Did you watch The Crown? What was that game they played? Dabble, dabble, dibble. 1,000 Umbrellas open to spoil the view. But so it doesn't. It doesn't have the elitist. Yeah. Glamorous element of that some people would put with classical. It still feels sort of accessible.
Perfume Genius, someone's saying here. Very Baroque flavors. You also had Kate Bush on the list as well. Kate would sit in that.
Yeah, a lot of people. The online groups, you know, like I said, I hadn't really come across it much before, but, you know, they really like to discuss it. And a lot of it was people saying, what is this? I want to like it.
Yeah.
Like, it seemed like something people stumble on find.
This is kind of like a genre that had a very specific time in a scene and then has also become a genre in the sense that we sometimes talk about it where it's a catch-all for things that fall into. Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, so for me, I like having it because, you know, I've been lecturing on prog rock, you know, for decades.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I like being able to call that proto stuff because it did exist.
Totally.
But it's not prog rock in the same way. Yeah. You know, 20-minute songs or.
Someone says early split ends. Yeah, you could definitely put a little bit of a Baroque flavor to some of those tracks. Someone's razzing my pronunciation of it as well.
Baroque?
Baroque.
Or is it Baroque?
It's Baroque. I think it's Baroque. I was saying Baroque.
I say Baroque. Go for Baroque. it's actually Baroque.
Baroque. Baroque. Baroque. We're just making noises now.
Baroque. No, I'm American, so it's Baroque, classical, romantic.
Somebody has just texted in for the next track that we're about to play.
No way!
Someone said ELO. You enjoying this one, Tess?
Yeah, it's good.
You just had a look on your face for a second there.
Iconic.
It is iconic.
Because again, where would you put them? They're a little too accessible to be prog. Yeah, you know what I mean? They're not trying to stretch you.
No.
They're trying to have you enjoy it.
No. They're making classics.
Yeah.
But.
Now, a weird fun fact. In 2006, in England's, UK's Q magazine, this was voted as the number one guilty pleasure. You know how everyone's doing their Spotify playlist, you know, embarrassments?
Magazine's guilty pleasure song.
Yeah.
Interesting. Someone's asked if there's a link from Kraftwerk.
A tenuous link from Kraftwerk. I mean, they both have a sort of prog-ish element to it.
Yeah, I think Kraftwerk are too intellectual for this.
Yeah.
I mean, they still manage to be catchy, let's be honest.
Oh, yeah.
But
I reckon this could air into the realm of Christmas music almost. It's got a jingle.
It's happy.
It falls into the category of songs that would be, you know, the song right before the credits roll on a movie, you know?
Yeah. In a Christmas movie.
Yeah, I think because obviously... God Only Knows is huge in Love Actually, which is obviously an iconic Christmas film.
Right.
I feel like that floats all of this into that category for me.
So it has the majesty and the drama without the sort of, you know, intellectual complexity.
Yeah.
The ornamentation is frou-frou. you know, rather than frou-frou. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong.
Frou-frou. Has anyone seen that really silly movie that is like got Minnie Driver in it and she's like a high school drama teacher?
No, but I want to now.
Yeah, she gets all of her students to...
Why do we all watch crap movies at this time of year? It's such a...
Well, it's been a long time since I watched this. I can't even remember if it's crap or not. But she gets all of her high school drama students to do like Shakespeare, but as a musical with like David Bowie and ELO and stuff. It's very strange.
Okay, now I think
Does anyone
you're just
know
making
what I'm
this
talking
up.
About? Have I just fever dreamed this?
Yeah, she's making it up.
Grizzy says ELO was her first stadium concert. They were the first to use lasers, apparently.
That they would be awesome live when they with lasers.
Lasers.
That was probably back when it still burned a hole in you by accident in your eye.
Retina.
Yeah. Yeah. So even though it's called Baroque, Baroque for classical folks is a specific period.
Yes.
And this is just anything now. Classical is a specific period too, but now we use classical as an umbrella term
to
cover,
yeah.
you know, Western European elite, you know, classical music tradition.
Yeah.
So, you know, your musicologist friends will get a little confused when you call this Baroque pop.
They'll be like, "This is nothing.
Yeah,
nothing Baroque.
Not Baroque enough." So, Bach is Baroque and Mozart is classical.
Yeah. Good luck to everybody getting this song out of their head for the rest of the day.
I know. It's a living worm.
A living earworm, that one. Thank you. I enjoyed Baroque pop very much this morning.
Yeah, it was different. It was a big learning curve for me, but it made sense.
Yeah, no, totally. I do find it really interesting when you have one of those genres that becomes more than the time that it, you know, had its little scene, and it kind of becomes a word or a phrase that people use.
And it's part of a palette now, because artists, you know, can like touch on anything.
Yeah.
You know, like the band we played before, XTC, they have ska songs. You know, like, but that as an artist, I mean, so genre's important for audiences to find you, but it's not a limitation.
Yeah. Justin said, "Mum was so into this ELO track when I was growing up in the 70s. I feel like it's got a huge nostalgia vibe to it, that one. Not a single person has texted in about the Minnie Driver movie, so maybe I just made it up
in my
head.
I think you did.
Well, what will you be bringing us next week, Kirsten?
Oh, amazing. I'm so excited. It's called The Great American Songbook.
Ooh, la la.
That's the genre.
All right. We will see you then.
That was Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimpke.
And this